Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Dax McCarty sits down with us now for a conversation. Dax, how are you, man?
Doing great, guys. Doing great.
I mean, I know that you guys are getting ready for a huge game on Saturday, but it's Halloween. You have a small kid, right? You guys doing anything? Two small kids. What are you guys doing?
Yeah. We're in Brookhaven, so we're going to go trick-or-treating in the neighborhood.
There you go.
I'm getting some stick from the guys because I don't have a costume sorted out yet.
Okay.
We're not a big family costume family. You know what I mean?
My man.
With the theme, we just kind of go with it. We ask the kids what they want to be. They say the most random things you could imagine. And then if we're feeling it, we'll go throw on a mask or an outfit that has nothing to do with what they are.
Yeah. How
so
old
it's
are
just
they?
Random. 5 and 2.
Okay, so 5's got opinions.
Yeah.
Oh, 5 has opinions,
yeah.
For sure. He's a lizard.
That's great.
Yeah, you know why? He's really into going in our backyard and catching lizards.
Okay.
And so, my man is not scared. I'm telling you, he's like, Dad, come check this out. And it's like some sort of animal or bug that I haven't really seen before. I'm like, I don't know what that is. He just picks it up. He's like, look at that, Dad.
Yeah.
Look at that. Look at those fangs. I'm like, okay. Please put it down.
The only difference my son would have is before he said, look at this, he would eat it.
Yeah.
It would be immediately in his mouth.
Can I tell you guys something funny that I saw on Twitter? I refuse to call it X.
Yeah. Me too.
Okay, good. Thank you. I'm glad we can agree on
that.
I saw a picture. You know how people on Halloween, right, if they take their kids trick-or-treating, they leave the bowl of candy out, and they say, take one, right? You do that?
I've done it until...
So now you get a couple kids on the Ring cameras, right? They're looking around. Boom, whole bowl. It's like, come on, guys.
That's
what
why,
are we doing here?
That's why I don't do it anymore. Because the same.
Exactly.
That's right.
I saw a funny tweet, and it was a picture. You guys know what pho is?
P-W-A. Yeah. I grew up in Seattle.
It was a big vat of pho, and it just said, one spoonful per kid. So, I might do that. I might whip up a big vat of pho, because you guys were talking about some funny stuff there, but that one really stuck with me.
For people that don't know, pho is like a Vietnamese soup.
Yeah.
It's like a noodle soup.
Yeah.
So, you put a little noodle soup
just
in your bag.
One sip.
Yeah.
I like that one.
All right. With all of that fun had, how do you look at – because people may know this, maybe they don't know it. Obviously, people know you guys are playing for the season on Saturday, but this might be your last game.
Yeah.
On Saturday. How do you put that out of your mind and get ready for it? Maybe you don't. Maybe it's something that you think about a lot.
You know what's great is we've been playing basically single elimination games for three, four weeks now.
Yeah.
The game down in Miami we knew was a little different because we were guaranteed at least two games. But Orlando, backs were against the wall, could have been our last game of the season, got in by the skin of our teeth. Awesome. Montreal. Went up to Canada 3-4 days later and played a great game. And then we were up 2-0. Look, the pressure of the crowd, you know, we were a little bit heavy-legged, got to penalties, and then we showed unbelievable composure and confidence to go and make it to the elimination round mm-hmm. against Miami. So we've been dealing with it for multiple weeks now. So, I've said this before. I'll say it again. I'm not afraid to say it. Like, we respect Miami. They're one of the best teams that has ever, I think, come through MLS with the quality of the talent, the coaching that they have. But we're not scared of them.
Right.
We shouldn't be scared of them. We took four points off them this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only team to go unbeaten against them in the regular season, and this is the postseason, so of course it means a little bit more. But we've been watching video, and we realize how good they are and how dangerous they can be. But we've already identified some areas where we think we can be better and sharper, and we can hurt them. So we're excited about the opportunity.
How do you stay sharp? Obviously trying to – my mind's sharp, but your body, because of the grind that you guys have been through this last month, especially three games and 10 days – well, how many other days it was. How do you and your teammates find a way to keep yourselves mentally sharp but also physically?
Yeah, well, it's about having a short memory, especially after a game where you lose, because of the positivity that we took from the Orlando game and from the Montreal game. And honestly, it was a little bit of chaos. So you don't even really have time to think about how tired you are. It's just recover, next game, recover, next game. So we've had a little bit more time in between these Miami games to be able to rest and recover. We had a few days off afterwards, which was just awesome.
Right.
And mainly, you know, physically, of course, it helps, but even mentally, just to get away from the training ground for a little bit, just to reset, be able to spend time on your own, spend time with your family. I mean, at this point of the season, everyone's in shape, everyone's fit. Even an old guy like me, like, I'm still fit and raring to go. So you need those mental breaks sometimes, and so getting away from the training facility for a few days was good, and now we've had some really, really good days of training and some days where we can go on the field and we can actually do some prep and some walkthroughs because we weren't able to do that leading up to this first Miami game.
Atlanta United midfielder Dax McCarty joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy as the team gets ready for Miami on Saturday. You mentioned it. I mean, there was success in the regular season. You guys went down there and won a game. I think one of two teams to actually do that this year. So and then to draw them later in the year. Why? Like, what has worked, not without giving too much away, obviously, but what has worked from your perspective in terms of playing those guys?
I think when you look at Miami and what they do well, you have to have an acceptance amongst your group that if you try to go toe-to-toe with them, it's very difficult to just out-talent them.
Right.
Not many people and teams are going to be able to do that. So you have to be smart and effective in your plan, in your tactics, right? And so for me, I look at what made us successful, staying compact, not allowing these wonderful players in Messi and Suarez and Jordi Alba to get too many opportunities, and then being able to hit them in transition. Because for me, they're a very good team, but they are susceptible. Their backline has conceded goals, and to be completely honest, their coach, rightly so, he allows those attacking players freedom to not have to put a ton of energy into defending. So for me, what was so effective for us in the regular season was when we got opportunities to hit them in transition, when they turned the ball over and we got a counterattack, we were lethal and we were effective. And we put them under pressure and we scored goals when we needed to score goals. And look, at the back, we bend, but we didn't break.
Right.
Brad Guzan in the first game stood on his head. And to be completely honest, he's probably going to have to do that again, because if you go into the game thinking you're not going to concede any chances to them, then you're foolish. It's going to happen. So then, can Brad make big saves? Can we limit the opportunities we give them? And then going the other way in the attacking third, we just have to be more efficient. If we can be more efficient with our chances, make their goalkeeper make saves, give up rebounds, score some goals, right? Like, we got into the first game 1-1 at halftime, and even though we didn't play well and they were dominating, we still felt good about our chances to go in the second half and nick the game, right? And so just keeping the game close and being effective in our moments going forward, that's a big, big thing for us.
What has it been about this season, Dax? Because we're all United fans, and we love this squad, and this squad took over the city and all those different things, but this season has been frustrating. You
for
go
sure.
through a new manager and all these different things, different moving parts, guys go, guys come. But how is it that this core group that's still here stuck together and got you to the point where you are, like you said, elimination and all those different things, but you're playing for your season on Saturday?
I think it's recognizing that the things that were difficult for us throughout the season was inconsistency. And it was a lack of success at home, ironically enough, where when I first got here, you know, this is my first year with the team. And when I first got here, I distinctly remember Brooks Lennon telling me, dude, when we play at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, it is electric. It is a fortress. We do not lose. And I'm like, okay, great, awesome. And then we just struggled at Mercedes-Benz all year. And I was like, this sucks. You know what I mean? Like, we should be better. We should be entertaining our fans. We should be scoring goals. We should be winning more games. And actually, the last couple years, they struggled on the road, dominated at Mercedes-Benz. And now this year, it was kind of like a little flipped, right?
Right.
We were not great at home, and we were decent on the road, and that kind of led us to the playoffs. And so now I think, what a great moment, what a great opportunity in front of our fans. You're going to have 70,000 people there and playing against one of the best teams MLS has ever put together. What an opportunity to go in and change the narrative. Say, we are going to be the aggressor. We're going to be on the front foot. We're not going to sit back. We're going to make sure that we take advantage of our opportunities in front of our home fans so that we know when we go into that, we could lose the game. It can happen. But we're going to leave it all out there, and we're going to make sure we entertain them no matter what. Because I think they just want to be proud of the performance. And I have to be honest, there weren't a lot of home performances this year that our fans could be proud of, and we have to change that. This is a big moment, big opportunity for us to change that.
Dax McCarty joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, getting ready for the playoff game at home on Saturday. Like Dax said, 70,000 strong in the building. Should be a lot of fun. Let me ask you a big picture question here. As you've played, I mean, like 500 games in MLS, right? Like that's a great long career. You've seen the league evolve and change quite a bit. Maybe this is too simple, but how has it changed most from when you came in to where the league is at now? What's the biggest difference?
Infrastructure. You guys are here sitting with me in a gorgeous multi-million dollar training facility that, quite frankly, I turned pro in 2006. So these did not exist, full stop. Now, in MLS, if you don't have one of these, you are so far behind the eight ball when it comes to talent recruitment. And that doesn't just mean for the first team. That means for the academy as well. You're so far behind that you better get on it. You better find some land. You better have an owner that's committed to putting an infrastructure in place that is going to draw in the best players and the most talent. Because a brand new stadium is excellent, and that's great. Everybody wants a brand new stadium. But I'm telling you guys right now, the main draw for a player, a free agent, a good player in Europe, that wants to sign with a team is somewhere where you're going to be most days, and that's the training facility. Mm-hmm. And I think if you go throughout the best teams in the league, you see that they have these first-class, world-class facilities that, you know, I haven't been to a ton of training facilities over in Europe, but these are in line and on par with the best of the best. You really don't find these very often over anywhere in the world. And so for me, the infrastructure, the investment, and obviously the focus on youth development, it's all night and day from where it was when I first came in the league.
And like Buck said, you've been around a long time. You talk about when you drafted 2006, played for a few teams. What was it about Atlanta? What is it about Atlanta that you like so much?
Well, I'm a Florida guy. Okay. You know, I'm from the South.
Okay.
I'm born and raised Orlando, Florida. And like you said, I've been a few places in my career, mainly central U.S. and East Coast. I played in D.C., New York, Nashville, Chicago, Dallas. And I kind of did a little bit of a loop, right? And so as I was in Nashville and thinking about the options I had some options on the West Coast and still in the Midwest, but I thought, you know, I've got some family here. It's my parents are my biggest fans. It would be great to be able to end my career close to home where I would have that infrastructure and that support of my family, because I left home when I was 16 to pursue my dreams,
right,
and to go play. And so my parents have been my biggest fans. They've been driving and flying all over the country trying to watch me and follow my career. So it's not quite that close to Orlando, but it's close enough. You know, it's a 45-minute to an hour flight. It's an eight-hour drive. So they've been able to make so many home games this year, and it's been really something that my family, especially me having two young children, my wife, she's from Florida as well, that was a really big draw. But also it was this, the infrastructure of Atlanta United, the fact that they were a big club in MLS. And listen, my initial reason for coming.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Here was like, hey man, this team has a ton of talent,
right?
And this team is going to be challenging for trophies. And look, sometimes it doesn't always work out the way you think it will, and it wasn't such a linear, straight up progression for us to be top four in the East and, you know, be challenging for the supporter shield. But, you know, we sold some talent. We're here now in this moment in the playoffs with a chance to continue our season. And that's what you play for. You play you want to play in the biggest games. I mean, you guys, you probably know you want to play in the biggest games that you have. And this is definitely a huge game. And I'm just looking forward to it, just like the rest of the guys.
You don't think I played?
I don't know. Did you?
No.
Okay. I was told very distinctly one person played, and it was Randy. All right. So I feel like someone would have told me if Andy played.
I thought that was just an assumption. You were right.
Okay. I figured. I feel justified.
Yeah. You 100%. 100% justified. Final one here, and you get it. You're, like you said, you're from the South. I was going to ask about this anyway, but you brought up being from Florida in the Orlando area. I know you went to UNC for college. What does that make you? Are you a Gator fan growing up?
So I'm a Tar Heel through and through, but okay. I am a Gator fan 100%. Okay. My uncle went to Florida State. One of my other uncles and my grandfather went to Florida, and I grew up in like kind of the Danny Werfel era. And so I loved UF. Yeah. Sorry, I don't know. Is that a sore subject?
Oh, that's when they used to beat I.
I also have a distinct. My wife is from the Jacksonville area.
Yes.
And this was during Tim Tebow craze. So I was like locked in with the Gators with Tebow mania. I loved it. Uh-huh. I apologize. Okay. Where'd you go?
Georgia.
Yeah. Ah. Okay.
How do you think Saturday's going to go? Is this the question?
I think Florida's going to get their butt kicked.
Okay, yeah. Here we go. All right.
I'm a realist. Florida stinks this year, so I apologize, Gator fans, but it's true.
How about this? Georgia beats Florida, but you guys beat Miami.
I'll take that.
Hell yeah, we will.
We'll take that.
I think we all will.
I think everybody listening will probably take that too.
I'll take that.
Dax, thank you.
Appreciate you, my man.
Great to chat, man.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Good
appreciate
luck on Saturday.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.